ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति 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 हरिः। ॐ ॐ मे मै लिम्स् स्पीच् वैटल् फोर्स् ऐस् इयर्स् एज़ आल्सो स्ट्रेंथ एंड ऑल दि ऑर्गन्स बिकम वेल डेवलप्ड एवरीथिंग इज दि ब्रह्मन रिवील्ड इन दि उपनिषद्स। मे आई नॉट डिनाय ब्रह्मन मे नॉट ब्रह्मन डिनाय मी लेट देयर बी नो स्पर्निंग ऑफ मी बाय ब्रह्मन लेट देयर बी नो रिजेक्शन ऑफ ब्रह्मन बाय मी मे ऑल दि वर्च्यूज दैट आर स्पोकन ऑफ इन दि उपनिषद्स रिपोज इन मी हु आई एम एंगेज्ड in the pursuit of the self, may they repose in me. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We are studying the 7th chapter of the Chandogya Upanishad, which is called Bhumananda. In our last class, we completed the 12th Kundar section known as Akasha Brahma Upasana. Akasha Vava Tejaso Bhuyan. आकाशे वै सूर्य चंद्रमसौ उभौ विद्युत नक्षत्राणि अग्निः आकाशेन आह्वयति आकाशेन शृणोति आकाशेन प्रतिशृणोति आकाशे रमत आकाशे न रमत आकाशे जायत आकाशम अविजायत आकाशम उपास्व इति। आकाश surely is greater than fire. In Akasha indeed exist both the sun and the moon and lightning, the stars and fire. Through Akasha one calls, through Akasha one hears, and because of Akasha one also hears the response. In Akasha one rejoices, in Akasha alone one doesn't rejoice. In Akasha, a thing is born, and towards Akasha, it grows. So, worship Akasha as Brahma. Saya Akasham Brahma ityupaste Akashavato vai salokan prakashavato asambadhan urugayavato abhisiddhyati yavat akashasya gatam tatrasya yatha kamacharo bhavati यह आकाशम ब्रह्म इति उपास्ते अस्ति भगवान आकाशात भूयः इति आकाशात भावा भूयो अस्ति इति तन्मे भगवान ब्रवीतु इति। ही हू कंटेम्प्लेट्स आकाश एज ब्रह्मन एज वन्स ओन सेल्फ दैट इज आई एम आकाश एंड अटेन्स दैट वननेस ही इंडीड अटेन्स इन्फिनिट वर्ल्ड्स vast worlds full of light, unconfined, spacious. He is free to act as he wishes in the sphere within the reach of Akasha. He who worships Akasha as Brahman attains all these. Revered sir, asks Narada of Sanat Kumara, is there anything greater than Akasha? Surely there is something greater than Akasha. Revered sir, please communicate it to me, please instruct me, so that I can contemplate and attain oneness with it. This is what we have discussed in our last class, and completed. Just to recollect what we discussed, this is the essence. This is one of the greatest of all upasanas. Before we are able to conceive of pure consciousness, before we can even have an iota of idea about Atman, pure consciousness, Brahman, we must start with Akasha Upasana. And anyone who succeeds in identifying himself with the Akasha will be able to acquire at least these four following qualities. What are they? These qualities of the Akasha are almost similar to the qualities of Brahman. Remember, Brahman doesn't have any qualities, but for the sake of contemplation, we imagine Brahman to be having some qualities. Akasha and Brahman have got some common features. What is it? I am formless. Any person contemplates on this Akasha Brahma and becomes one with it. So, at the beginning he says, I am different, Akasha is different, and I am contemplating on Akasha. But as he progresses in this contemplation, and then finally attains one-ment, oneness with Akasha, what does he feel? I am formless. He doesn't say, I am formless like Akasha. He says, I am formless. I am all-pervading. I am indivisible. I am uncontaminated, untouched. These are the four qualities. That means I am infinite. Narada must have practiced this contemplation, and until he practices, he will not approach the teacher like Indra until he contemplated what he was taught for 32 years. He did not come out. So, Narada must have done that. This is what we have. The Upanishad doesn't say, but we have to insert. So, Narada identifies himself with Akasha as formless, all-pervading, indivisible, and unattached. And this is the nearest upasana if one wants to realize God or Brahman. But Sanat Kumara is going to take us through a few more steps. But this is the essence of the section 12th of the 7th chapter of Chandogya Upanishad called Akasha Brahma Upasana. Now, Sri Ramakrishna also has to say about this. Do you know how a jnani meditates? Think of infinite Akasha and a bird flying there, joyfully spreading its wings. There is the Chidakasha and the Atman, individual soul, is the bird. The bird is not imprisoned in a cage. It flies in the Chidakasha. Its joy is limitless. That is a beautiful commentary on this upasana. There is a beautiful incident. Sri Ramakrishna identified himself with the Divine Mother. So one day, he was at, I think, Jayarambati, and suddenly he had taken food at night, gone to bed. We all know Sri Ramakrishna sleeps only for an hour or two, no more than that, throughout his night. Then how does he get rest? Through samadhi. Just as we get so much of rest by experiencing sushupti or deep sleep, and if sushupti itself can give us so much of joy called ananda, how much joy should Sri Ramakrishna derive from it? So, towards midnight, suddenly he came out of samadhi and he said, I am ravenously hungry, prepare something. Of course, in those small villages, very difficult to imagine. And there are no shops where they can go and buy something and then immediately feed him. So they counter questioned him. So just now you have eaten. And Sri Ramakrishna says, when did I eat? I am just now coming from Dakshineswar. What does he mean? He meant that he was Mother Kali, and Mother Kali herself came to Jairam Bhati. And this type of incidents happened not once, twice, but many a time. When Hriday Mukhopadhyay, his nephew, was performing Durga Puja, Sri Ramakrishna used to come. He was visible only to Hriday and used to fan at the vesper service, evening or Ratrika. Only Hriday could see. Sri Ramakrishna was fanning the Divine Mother. He said, I had come through a subtle path made up of light, Shuklagati, whatever you call it. So, as a result of this contemplation on Akasha Brahma, one becomes not Brahman, but almost like Brahman. So Narada must have practiced and then approached and said, I feel this is not complete. So is there something superior? Of course, there is something superior than this. And so that is what comes next in the next 13th section. And it is called Smara Brahma Upasana. So, Trayodasya Khandaha, Smara Brahma Upasana. And Smara, we have already seen in this very chapter earlier. But that Smara belongs to the individual, whereas this goes much, much deeper. Otherwise, you may wonder, why is Sanat Kumara repeating? And he is repeating about memory. Has he lost his memory that he has already repeated it? No. Having given some idea about memory there, here he is giving even much, much better, deeper, much deeper understanding. So what is this memory? We have to be very careful about it. It is called Smara in this Upanishad. So Smara means remember. That means memory. But here means what? It means Atma Smriti, I am. That is called memory. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita, we have Arjuna was asked by Krishna, have you listened to my talk carefully and thought about it and understood it? There also we have to understand, by the grace of Bhagavan Krishna, it is not only Shravana, not only manana, but nididhyasana. So if you have heard, then your delusion should have gone. What delusion? I am Arjuna. That I am Arjuna, that is the delusion. And that is the root cause of all delusions. That is body-mind complex. This is called Jivatma. Immediately, without hesitation, he says, Nasto Mohaha. My delusion is completely destroyed. How did it get destroyed? Smriti labdha. Smriti. That smriti has to be connected here with this smara. What is that smara or smriti? I am not Arjuna. Arjuna is a name for body-mind complex. One particular body-mind complex. Not even a second, two. Body-mind complex, only one. But when Arjuna, he disappeared and then it said, I am Atman. That means the best English translation for it would be, don't say I am Atman, I am Brahman. Simply say, I am. The moment we say, I am this or that, whatever is added to that, I am plus something. And I am in Sanskrit is called aham. And whatever is added to that aham is called kara. Ahankara. So Arjuna had gotten rid of kara. That kara is called delusion, moha, which causes vishada. That is why the very first chapter is beautifully titled as Arjuna Vishada Yoga. How can vishada be yoga? Many times I explained, it is only vishada that is suffering, that is unhappiness, that is a tremendous amount of agony. And that alone can bring us to the lotus feet of God. Anybody who is enjoying sweets, sitting in a air-conditioned room is not going to attain this smarana, smriti. I am Brahman, I am Atman. Rather, his worldly bondage becomes deeper. I am enjoying this. I would like to have it again and again and again, occasionally. So, this is what is called smara, means what? First comes I am. And before going into the introduction, I would like to give an example. Suppose you are seeing a tree. Which comes first? Tree or you? So, what is the in you? What is the first thing? I am here and I am opening my eyes and I am seeing this tree. Therefore, without that I am, it is not possible. This is what even Isavasya Upanishad says, Tadejati, Tannaijati, Taddure, Tadvantike, Tadu Antarasya Sarvasya, Tadu Sarvasya Asya Bahyataha. So it moves and at the same time it doesn't move. It is far, it is near, it is inside, it is outside. And then Taddhavato Anyan Atyeti Tishtan. The Atman sits here. And every object is, imagine, somebody is running to Mars, but you are here. But already you are able to outrun them. Taddhavato Anya. You outrun everybody else. And just sitting here. Why? Because sitting here is not the correct translation. Sitting means I am everywhere. Therefore, I am. So what does it mean? First comes that consciousness. I am aware, I am on Mars, and this is called an object called Mars. I am, and here is a object called a tree. I am witnessing a tree. So also apply this to Shabda, Sparsha, and Rasa, and Gandha. First comes eye consciousness, awareness, and then only comes experience of any object. Before even to say there is an object, the subject must be there. And that self-consciousness, self-awareness is here termed as memory. So in the last, this is the 13th section, the last 12 sections which we have completed, Sanat Kumara taught to Narada 12 upasanas. And then in the last, Akasha upasana. Why? Because everything is contained in the Akasha. Not only objects, but experience of the objects. But how did you, how did I, how did we experience this every object? Because I must be aware of both the Akasha and also everything. So, smaro vava akashat bhuyaha. Therefore, smara is superior. That means it is the cause of Akasha. Akasha, which contains everything. You look at a tree, there must be space for the tree to be contained. Look at a house, look at a car, look at your own body, look at your own mind, look at your spiritual thoughts, there must be Akasha. And as we discussed earlier, three types of Akashas are mentioned. If it is through experiences through the physical body, it is called Bahya Akasha, external space. But if it is worldly thoughts, it is called Chitta Akasha. If it is spiritual thoughts, Chit Akasha, Chida Akasha. But I am seeing, I am thinking, I am contemplating on God. What comes first? Even in language, I am seeing, I am thinking, I am contemplating. We remove that I am, everything disappears. This is what Sri Ramakrishna said. Any number of zeros have absolutely no value. There must be number one. After that, every number, or in his language, every zero increases, multiplies the value of anything. That is what here, that number one, I am. That is called smara. So this is, of course, a little bit peculiar term, which has been interpreted as the power of consciousness, and it is recognized as self-existence, or in other words, I am. Our consciousness of our own existence is prior to the operation of our consciousness of the recognition of space outside us. In the last upasana, akasha, how do I know? First comes me, then only comes akasha. First comes atma, then only comes space. The space is contained within me. So, our consciousness of that I am existent is prior to the akasha of which I have to contemplate. Just imagine, Sanat Kumara instructed, akasha brahmahiti upasva. So then he went and did. What was the first stage? I am separate. Akasha is an object. And even when we are thinking of Brahman, Brahman is an object. Whatever we are thinking, that's an object. That's why it is called Brahma Akara Vritti. So, it is a very special type of memory which precedes all memories. It is a very foundation of every memory. For example, you see somebody and you say, oh, I remember you. We met at such and such a place 25 years back. Take this example. And then first, I am. And I had this experience. And I remember that experience. Which should come first? I should come first. If I am not there, there is no question of space being there. So, therefore, smara, or this I-consciousness, or self-existence, self-consciousness, is surely greater than akasha. If one is not conscious of his or her own existence, there is no question of space and no question of anything that exists within the space. And this we have seen also further. So if somebody wants to enjoy, and that object should be in the space. And I have to be aware there is an object, I come into contact, and if it is positive experience, I enjoy. If it is negative experience, I suffer. But whether to enjoy or suffer, that I have to be first present, because who says I enjoy? Which comes first? Enjoy or I? Only I. Suffering or I comes first. So there is thinking. This is called thinking. This is called understanding. This is called hearing. So every desire moves that way. Every activity in our life is first an offshoot of our own existence, consciousness of our existence. Minus self-consciousness, nothing exists. Simply you think about, as an example, that you are in front of some person or object, but your mind has gone somewhere. That means your self-awareness has gone somewhere, and the whole world disappears excepting what you are thinking. So this meditation upon this smara or self-consciousness is a very superior type of meditation, where we regard self-consciousness itself as the object of meditation. This is what is called, who am I? Kasyatvam kuta ayataha koham tatvam chintaya tadiha bhrataha. While trying to understand Bhajagovindam Stotram, we have seen that one. So, here something changes there. All this time, we are seeing, I am seeing, I am hearing, I am tasting, I am touching, I am smelling. But now, we are slowly turning from the objective to the subjective. That is what in Katha Upanishad, second valli, it is said that Brahma, the creator, created every sense organ faced outward. And therefore, we are only seeing what is outward. But kaschid dhiraha avrutta chakshu amrutatvam icchan. But there was an intelligent person. He understood this will not do. So he turned his eyes inward. This is that turning inward. I want to know, who am I? I am all the time saying I am, but who am I really? Because every time externally I am seeing something, so immediately I am a body seeing a tree. I am the body seeing a mountain. I am the mind thinking about what I had experienced before. So all these things. But think of Sushupti, what experience, the whole world disappears. What remains? Unspecified I consciousness, but that is also unconsciously being conscious of self-consciousness. It's a very interesting definition. Unconsciously being aware of I consciousness, self-consciousness. But this is called turning from the objective to the subjective. And then, as we discussed earlier, there is a definite relationship between the consciousness of objects and the objects of consciousness. So consciousness is the subject and every object is an object. What is the relationship? The objects cannot exist. The world doesn't exist without me being aware of myself. But I exist without the any objects, without the world. And we do not pay attention to it, so it escapes our notice. We always take it for granted. Objects are independent, hanging in space as it were, unconnected, including our own body and mind. That is absolutely a false understanding. So to come from outside to inside, to the subjective from the objective, is when spiritual life really starts. And that is said in the tantric language. What is it? There are sapta chakras are there, seven chakras are there. When our mind is completely identified, preoccupied with the lower three chakras, Mooladhara, Swadhisthana and Manipura, so we are not aware the distinction between myself and the outside world. I become the world becomes me. But as Sri Ramakrishna says, but once we find that spiritual pathway called Sushumna and our consciousness rises, that is the beginning of spiritual life, which means to say, now the object of my contemplation is self-consciousness itself. Who am I? This is what Katha Upanishad, as I mentioned just now, in the second valley, first chapter, what is called section, and first mantra itself. Paranchikhani vyatrunanda svayambhuhu tasmat parang pashyati na antaratman kaschit dhiraha pratyagatmana maikshat avrutta chakshuhu amrutatvam ichchat. So that is when spiritual life starts. And in the scheme of ashrama, according to our Hinduism, this is what is called Vanaprastha Ashrama, is turning away from the objective to the subjective. So this is the 13th essence of the 13th section called the Smara Brahma Upasana. So with this background, we will just easy to understand as I have been doing. You must have noticed I was giving the essence of the what is going to be followed, and then it will be easier for us to understand. So smara means what? Being conscious of self-consciousness. And then only everything is possible. So here goes the mantra. Again, there are two mantras. First, what is the greatness, superiority of smara? Second, Sanat Kumara says, now you contemplate on what we discussed right now as Brahma. That is, smara Brahma iti upasva. And what results? If he is a lower type of aspirant, he wants more happiness, higher lokas. And if he is bent only on spiritual progress, then he will be thinking of what we call, what is the next step? How can I quickly reach Brahman? So here it goes, smaro va va akashad bhuyaha. Smaro va va akashad bhuyaha. Smara is far superior, and remember, the cause is far superior to the effect. The cause is much more pervasive than the effect. The cause is having absolute control more than the karya or effect. Tasmat, and then the Rishi gives beautiful examples. Tasmat means what? So if you have understood, smara is even superior cause of akasha and whatever akasha contains. Tasmat, even that akasha, yadyapi bahavaha asiran nasmaranto naivate kanchana shrunuyuhu na manviran na vijaniran yada vava te smareyuhu atha shrunuyuhu atha manviran atha vijaniran smarena vai putran vijanati smarena pashun vijanati smaram upasva iti. Memory surely is greater than akasha. Therefore, even if many persons should assemble, and if they should have no memory, they surely would not hear any sound, they would not be able to think, they would not be able to know anything. But surely, should they have memory, then they would hear, then they would think, then they would know. Through memory indeed, one discerns one's sons, through memory one's cattle, and therefore worship memory. Sanat Kumara gives only few examples. So now we will go into the simple Sanskrit meaning smaraha. This self-awareness, self-consciousness, self-existence, vava, indeed, akashad bhuyaha, is superior, is the cause, is subtler, is more pervasive than akasha. And then example, tasmat, and because of this reason given here, yadyapi bahavaha asiran, yadyapi, even though, bahavaha asiran. Imagine, there are quite a number of people, and all of them imagine further. We need not be poor in imagination. There are so many people, imagine they are all great pandits, great brahmanas, great learned people, wise people, whatever. And then, nasmarantaha, absolutely, they are not aware of themselves. Like in, you can, the example, in deep sleep, they are not aware. So suppose somebody is completely thinking something else, and this is, we can understand this very easily, because how many times your mind has gone to the ends of the world, even during this few minutes of this talk. So smarantaha, they do not remember what they are doing. They are not paying attention. Naivate kanchana. So kanchana means even a little bit. Na evate shrunuyuhu. So they may be a hula bula. And just imagine a person who is tired, who sits there, and Sri Ramakrishna gives a beautiful example. Once a man wanted to attend some harikatha, so he heard that there is a beautiful harikatha, and Sri Ramakrishna was a very spicy master, humorous. So he says, there was this man, he was a great miserly fellow, so there were so many such kathas are being held, great discourses were being held, usually on Bhagavatam, Ramayana, Mahabharata, etc. So he went to one such performance, and then he found he has to pay money. So that is one example he gives. So he went to the other one, and he found out it is completely free, and that is another example. So this man, there was another man who, hearing that this katha is going on, performance is going on, a bit earlier he came and he found out there were not many people. He spread his mat and then he said, when the katha starts, I will wake up and listen. And he must have been very tired. And then he slept. And by the time he woke up, there was nobody else again. When he asked upon inquiry, he came to know that katha started, katha was finished, and everybody had gone away. In fact, the same thing happened in actual life when somebody came, heard that Sri Ramakrishna was coming to some devotee's house. He went there much earlier and he spread his mat and slept. And then meanwhile, Sri Ramakrishna came. Wonderful talk was there, dancing was there, singing was there, and the person was completely unaware of it. And then Sri Ramakrishna took leave of the host and all the devotees, practically everybody deserted. Suddenly he woke up and said, asked, has he come? Meaning, has Sri Ramakrishna come? And everybody laughed, whoever was left out there, because Sri Ramakrishna came, he talked, so he unrolled his mat and keeping it under his armpit, he departed to his own house. And you can understand whether you are looking at a cinema, listening to a talk, reading a book, or driving, how many people make accidents not paying attention? So, nasmarantaha, they are not aware. What it means is, I want to listen, I want to cook, I want to speak, I want to read. That is called self-awareness. And this is what a special technique called it is practiced by the one branch of the Buddhists, is called vipassana. So these people, suppose they are not aware. Naivate kanchana shrunuyu. Nobody hears anybody. Of course, if somebody is not hearing something, na manviran, there is the question of thinking about it. And na vijaniran, there is the question of acquiring knowledge about it. Not possible. But then, yada vavate smareyuhu. The same people, they might have learned their lesson. We have to add it in our imagination. And then they are very keenly aware. So they will sit there. Atha smareyuhu. Then they remember, we have come here to learn something. Atha shunuyuhu. They listen. Atha manviran. It makes them thoughtful. They start thinking about it. Atha vijaniran. So then they understand, they digest, and then their life will be transform. This is one example. Smarena vai putran vijanati, smarena pashun vijanati. This is the second sentence. Vijanati is not there, but for the sake of understanding, I have added smarena vai. Only when a person is aware, this is my son, these are my children, this is my family, these are my parents, these are my relatives, servants, houses, this is these are my patients, everything. Marena vai putran vijanati. You know, we hear sometimes stories. These doctors, physicians, sometimes when they do operation, they leave some of the instruments in the earlier times inside. And then after stitching everything, suddenly they miss that instrument. And then they remember, they are forced to reopen the stitches and take out the instrument. So much, sometimes, not all the time, smarena vai putran vijanati, to recognize, I am in India, and I am a Hindu, and this is my family, this is my job, and all these things are possible only if there is self-awareness, self-consciousness, self-existence. I am aware. When are you aware that you are? Only when you remember that I am alive. Only when you know you are alive, you are alive. Otherwise, whether you are dead or alive, nobody will know. You will not know. Others may know. Smarena pashu. Pashu means everything else, the whole world. Therefore, Onarada, smaram upasva iti. This is the essence of it. So now, the question that pops, what is the relationship between the last chapter and this chapter? There it is said, Akasham Brahma iti upasva. So you contemplate upon Akasha. Why? Because Akasha contains everything in this world. Without space, nothing can be there. If there is something, then it is in space. That is the idea. Now, what is the connection between Akasha? That means the whole universe, the whole creation, and smarana. Smarana. Here smara means smarana. Smarana means I am aware. What is it? Because Akasha, remember, it accommodates Avakasha Pradatru Iti Akashaha. Everything, it accommodates everything. The whole creation is indeed there. And the other way around also, we must understand, when you see some object, it is in space. So, Shankaracharya says, explaining this one, the relationship between Akasha and this Smarana, is what is called the superior memory called self-awareness. So, all transactions are possible only if one can identify things clearly. If I am not unaware of something, I cannot identify. I must know this is a car and it is coming fast towards me. What shall I do? So, when a person experiences an object and understands what an object is and then what is its effect, then he resists that experience, registers in his mind. So, any example, you are eating, maybe you love something. In Gospel you get, there was Mahendralal Sarkar. Once the topic had come, that Sri Ramakrishna says, many times I am not aware, then I am eating. Even Girish Chandra Ghosh also said the same thing. Mahendralal Sarkar said, what to speak of you? Even I am not aware of when I am eating. When I am eating, suddenly one family member says, wife or daughter, so, father, there is the salt is much less. He says, is it so? And he tastes, yes, yes, you are right. He was not aware, he was swallowing. But whether it is tasty or not, how much he is eating, that doesn't matter. And this actually happened to Swami Vivekananda. He was very hungry. He sat down and he was thinking something else. And then he asked somebody, how many chapatis have I eaten? And then others mentioned, so many chapatis we have served you have eaten. Oh, I was not aware of it. Sometimes it happens also. So only when we experience an object and understand what it is and register it in my mind, in our minds, that is, we remember this is such and such an object, then only that will come next time to use when I see the same object next time. Oh, I know this object. What I should do, what I should not do, I know. This created terrible stomach upset last time, so I better not touch this one. So, apply to the whole world. The very existence of the world is because of memory. No memory, the world is as good as non-existent. Think of, remember, Sushupti. So, that is what it says. Memory is that basic self-awareness, because of which we are able to identify, I am so-and-so, this is my body, this is my mind, this is my family, this is my country, this is my religion, and this is my office, this is what I must do. This is called any pratyaksha pramana, that is direct experience. I am seeing something, that is called pratyaksha, will reveal only a substance. For example, I am going through this, so that the idea sinks into our minds. So, I have seen a tree without being aware. Sometimes what happens, you know, I am vaguely aware. There is a tree. There is something here. There is a tree. But I don't remember what tree it is. I don't remember whether it is good or bad. I don't remember what I should do with that tree or not, or a person or not, a fruit or not, a sweet or not. So, direct experience, the eyes are seeing, the ears are hearing, but the person has gone somewhere, is not aware of it at all. Sometimes Sri Ramakrishna's experiences are peculiar. Once Girish Chandra Ghosh was invited to Balaram Babu's house and Sri Ramakrishna was again and again entering into deep samadhi. So, he entered and then it became sandhya time, evening time. And then Sri Ramakrishna was slowly coming back to that consciousness. Then he asks Ramakrishna, is it already the sandhya, the dusk? And Girish Chandra Ghosh heard it. Bah,
What hypocrisy. So many lights are burning. One is not able to see. And this fellow is pretending that, oh, I don't know what is day or night. What is the conjunction between day and night? Enough of this hypocrisy. And several years he did not come back. Later on, when he came to know Sri Ramakrishna, then he understood. Sri Ramakrishna was not pretending. It was not hypocrisy. Simply his mind as if gone to some higher realm. That's all. So when we see something, if we are slightly aware and we say, I am able to see this tree, that is called pratyaksha pramana, direct evidence. But then if I am not fully awake, fully aware, and that's why Swami Vivekananda's clarion call, uttishtata, first thing is be self-aware. Then only jagrata, be very observe things naturally. Is this what you are after? Then only prapyavaran nibodhata. So, if we are seeing something, our direct experience will not tell. I am seeing something vaguely. That's all. Whether this is a cot, is a house, is a person known, we do not know. Pramana doesn't reveal. But for the pramana to work properly, we have to be completely self-aware. And in Mimamsa, this peculiar process is called Artha Kriya Karitva. Means what? This object serves a particular purpose. And not only we have to remember through past experiences that this is such and such an object. It is pleasurable, painful, and whether I should eat it, smell it, whether I should touch it, all these things. Not only that, if there is no self-awareness, what happens to the very language I am speaking to you? And if you don't know the language, that is also a kind of non-self-aware. You are not aware of this particular language. You may be aware of some other language. That also will not help. And if you are, there are people who drink and who become almost semi-conscious, so they cannot understand, like that they go on talking. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, the very utility of an object depends upon our memory. And then, you know, we have discussed this earlier, when a person becomes what is called, he loses his complete memory, amnesia, then dementia. What happens? The whole world is gone. Even when the children whom he knew for so many years come and say, Papa, do you recognize me? He says, it is not possible. And in the sixth chapter of this very Chandogya, we have also seen, when a person is about to die, so long as he is aware, do you recognize me? If that question is asked, yes, yes, you are my son, you are my brother, you are my neighbor, etc. But when that self-awareness goes deep inside him, he will not be able to even hear, understand, much less respond. Therefore, the very existence of the world, which means my own body and mind also, they are connected. If the body-mind is there, but I am not aware, world is not there. World is not there, body-mind is there, but that also is completely useless. So, the world depends on its utility, cognition, utility, and action. It all depends upon our capacity to identify, to separate one object from the other object, and what is the good of it, and how to use it, how to get benefit from it, or how to avoid dangers, etc. Therefore, memory means what? First, I am conscious. I am aware. That is what is meant. Lends existence to the whole world. This is the explanation specially Shankaracharya gives. Of course, the Upanishad doesn't elaborate so much, but Shankaracharya in his Bhashya, he says, so this is what, even though there are so many learned people, they are not aware. Then what happens? Then those people will not be able to hear what others are talking. Even if he is babbling, he will not be able to hear what he is babbling, much less think about it, and still less understand and act or react or keep quiet. Keeping quiet also is a reaction. Remember, it is not non-action. Deliberate action called I will not act. That is called non-acting. Therefore, akasha is useless without this smara. But when there is smara, the whole akasha becomes very useful. When akasha is useful, then everything else becomes also very useful. So, sa smaram brahma iti upaste yavat sarvasya gatam tatra asya yatha kamacharo bhavati yasmaram brahma iti upaste. He who contemplates upon this mara, self-awareness, cultivates self-awareness, brahma iti upaste, contemplates on this self-awareness, brahma. That means he says, I am completely aware. I am one with consciousness. Then, yavat sarvasya gatam tatrasya yatha kamacharo bhavati yasmaram brahmeti upasate. The same rigmarole follows. Then, if he is a lower type of aspirant, he will be all the time aware. He will be able to understand things and sort out the good from the bad, the pleasant from the unpleasant. And that is what in Katha Upanishad, one of the first things is that Prayo Vilashi, one who is after this world, is incapable of understanding what is right, what is wrong. And here, so here his whole life will be extremely happy. And I will close this talk with this. I am putting it as a practical example. What is this example? We meet so many people and they give so much of pleasure and benefit. But we are not looking for pleasure, we are looking for whether it will do good in our future life, for our future. What lessons have I learned? Learn the lessons. That is the main purpose of all existence, all life. That's why Swamiji said that is called gymnasium, self-aware. Develop your self-awareness. And then I will be able to decide these people are useful, I get benefit. These people are not useful, I will not benefit. Apply now this to Sri Ramakrishna's first commandment, which is called the cultivate the company of the holy. If we do not know who is holy, who is unholy, by observing their effect upon us, then our life will be useless. So we presume Narada, having been instructed, went and then became completely aware and is ready for the next step, and which we will see in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohor Mohoho. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.